and welcome to your show Espejos de Aztlán. This afternoon we'll be featuring an interview with Jimmy López. He's among the younger generation of South American composers, born in Lima, Peru. His life trip looks like The Lord of the Air, one of his most important compositions about the life of a condor, the emblematic bird of the Andean region. He received important awards such as Prince Prize, the Morton Gould Young Composer Award, first prize at the ALIA Third competition, an international competition. And from the National Conservatory of Music of Peru, he obtained his Master of Music in the Sibelius Academy in Finland and his PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. We talk with Dr. Jimmy López during his visit in Santa Fe about his new work just released by the Norwegian radio orchestra America Salvaje, or Wild America, Peru Negro, or Black Peru, and Synesthesia. So enjoy this conversation. My name is Cristina Bachín. I'll be hosting as well Raíces show after Espejos de Aztlán. We want to share this work that you are just releasing with the Norwegian Radio Orchestra with the direction of Miguel Harth Bedoya. I was looking forward for this job to be released and to have the joy to share it with our listeners. Can you describe just a little bit this work that is called America Salvaje, Synesthesia, Peru Negro, and Lord of the Air, just released by their Harmonia label? If all this work, you should describe all this work as a whole trip by itself. Can you describe it for our listeners so we can follow you through the stations, the departure, and the destination of it?
Well, of course. I mean, each one of these pieces had a very interesting origin, and the parameters, you know, that were given to me before starting with a commission. They span 6 years of creative output. The first one is from 2006, and that will be America Salvaje, which is the very last one in the track. And then we have a cello concerto, Lord of the Air. And we have another piece called Synesthesia for Radio France, and Peru Negro, which was commissioned by Miguel Harth Bedoya for the Forward Symphony. So two of these works stand out, the first and last, Peru Negro and America Salvaje, because they are both directly based on folk music from Peru. And Lord of the Air is inspired by the idea of the condor. However, it does not take the musical elements of Peru into it. It's more of a personal work in that sense. And Synesthesia was commissioned by the Philharmonic Orchestra of Radio France. And so I did want to have a little bit of the influence of the French masters of orchestration, which have actually influenced me as well in my formative years as a composer. And that one actually stands out, and also being aesthetically different. So I think it does give quite a good picture of myself as a composer.
Let's begin by Peru Negro. We were listening to it and very carefully and feeling it. You were mentioning that this work, there are six songs on which you were kind of inspired to do these compositions. Can we highlight what are those songs and how did this song crossed to you to do this composition?
Right, so when Miguel commissioned the piece, first it was to commemorate the 100th.
We are talking about Miguel?
Miguel Harth Bedoya, the conductor. So he is the principal conductor of the Fort Worth Symphony Orchestra, and he commissioned that to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the orchestra. And what he asked me was, like, let's do something in the vein of Laval's from Ravel, something that would be the apotheosis of Peruvian, Afro-Peruvian music. And so what I did was I went into research. I listened to a lot of Afro-Peruvian music. I had listened to it, of course, but more intently and more analytically this time. And I found a number of songs that I liked very much, that I thought had this diversity. And so I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab them. I'm going to process them and I'm going to incorporate them into my own harmonic language. And we start with Pregón, which is a song that the sellers in the old times in Lima would actually go around. You know, they will be offering their product, but at the same time, they will be creating a little song that would identify them and distinguish them for the other vendors. Then the other ones called Le Dije Papá, Inga, and We End With Son de los Diablos, for example. All these little songs are known to Peruvians. They are very known melodies. But you don't necessarily have to know them to really enjoy the piece. So what we do is really we have, in that sense, that piece is a journey, really. From the beginning, because it builds up to a big crescendo around halfway, and then it recedes and starts and goes back to it. So I think anyone who has knowledge of Peruvian, Afro-Peruvian music will have fun trying to identify which piece. It's a toro mata, yes it is, but it's slow down. And then the melody, the contour has changed a little bit. Because, you know, I'm not interested in really just replicating folk music as such. I admire composers like Ginastera and Bartók, who actually really organically incorporated the folk music of their country into the musical language. So that's what I'm after when I write a piece like Peru Negro.
I was expecting, when I saw this title, I was expecting something more upbeat, like something fun. I have been in Peru several times, and also in the deep areas of the outskirts of Peru. And then listening to this, I could feel something more tragic. There was even listening with my husband, he was telling me there is some kind of fear there. Is that there, or is just our feeling?
Well, I think anyone, and I'm welcome, anyone who has a different feeling or perception with a piece, there is not one way to listen to a piece. So I'm happy to hear that. I do think that there is a lot of tragedy involved in it, and there's a lot of joy as well. But, you know, Afro-Peruvian music comes from the African slaves who were imported to the Americas in the 16th century by the Spanish when they were colonizing the Americas. And all they had at their disposal were those rudimentary instruments, a cajon, which is literally a box, and a jawbone, so a donkey's jawbone. And their voices, so they will be singing, and you know, the vein in which they sing is very joyful, but the lyrics sometimes talk about their abuses they underwent, you know. So there's a mixture of joy and tragedy, I think, for sure, in this.
We have this Lord of the Air journey. I really enjoy to do that kind of journey. I was feeling it like a journey. Actually, the name is Lord of the Air. Can you tell us, to our New Mexican listeners, what's a condor? What does it mean for Peru? And how did you inspire, how this bird inspire your work, Lord of the Air?
Well, the Andean condor is one of the most majestic, you know, birds that you can see. And there are several spots in South America. And one of them is the Colca Canyon in Arequipa, in the province of Arequipa in Peru, which is grand, is beautiful. And you can see this, you know, this bird has a wingspan of, I don't even know, over 3 meters, I think. And it can reach highest than any other bird. So it's quite a treat to see it. And it's, of course, very closely associated with Peru, starting with the Condor Pass and sounds like that. But so what I wanted to depict in this case was a little bit of the stages of the flight of the condor. So I started with Leap to the Void. So imagine we have a condor that's trying to take flight for the first time. Now he's faced with this abyss, you know. So then we have this jolts and flapping wings, and that's why this piece is like a little bit like a recitative, an exchange between the cello and the orchestra, the cello representing the condor and the orchestra representing the environment where it lives. And so after it jumps, then we have the ascent, which is the second movement, where it uses the air currents to ascend. So it's a very goal-driven movement, and it's just from beginning to end, it's just on a single, you know, on a mission. And then on the third movement called Soaring the Heights, that's where I used the opportunity to just expand and be in tranquility and calm, because that's when the bird actually has reached the height. It's not flapping its wings anymore, it's just, you know, soaring, literally. And that's when I use the cello cadenza, for example. So just a moment of reflection and calm. And then Homecoming, again, like, it's just a goal-driven movement, but we quote some things from the beginning, precisely because we're coming back home. So we are quoting some things from the beginning just to wrap up the whole journey of the condor.
If you're just tuning in, this is Espejos de Aztlán, and this afternoon we are interviewing Jimmy Lopez, whose last work just released last week is this album with the Norwegian Radio Orchestra, conducted by Peruvian as well, Miguel Harth Bedoya. We were listening part of his work, Peru Negro, and also the last songs we were listening from Lord of the Air, which is a whole work giving some kind of homage to the condor, which is the most emblematic bird in the Andean region. And my name is Cristina Bachin. We are going to keep with this interview with Jimmy Lopez, and then we'll be back with more music, particularly tonight on Rise's show with La Luna. This other work that is also like a soul of this last album, America Salvaje, and he also announced that this is related with the very famous poem La Son in Peru. Why is America Salvaje, Wild America? Maybe if I can translate it. And why did this poem inspire you to compose this America Salvaje?
Well, so the commission came from the Ministry of Education in Peru because they were going to open the new building of the National Library. So I thought, well, what is more appropriate than having a musical genre that is related to literature? So in that sense, the symphonic poem came to mind immediately. And then this poem, La Song, is actually engraved on the walls of the National Museum in Lima, so everyone who goes by sees it, and we also learn it at school, so it's well known. One thing I like about this poem is that it talks about the Spanish conquest, but it also talks about it not in terms of only a clash, but also a fusion. So that you have, the poet itself, and all Peruvians nowadays, we are the result of that mixture, that violent clash, of course, but in the end, we have also inherited the, you know, parts of the Inca culture and parts of the Spanish culture. And I like that kind of message because, you know, it's not all about discordance, it's also about bringing things together and what results out of it. Now, the title comes from the very first verse because he says, yo soy el cantor de América autóctono y salvaje, which is, I'm the singer of America, indigenous and wild, right? And so I took these two words, America and salvaje, which I thought they were very, very representative. And in this piece, what I do is like the very first measures are sounds that are not usually present in a Western symphony orchestras. So you have pututos, which are conch shells, ocarinas, and bird whistles. So all of this creates an atmosphere of a time that's long gone, and it speaks of a civilization now gone, of course. And then little by little, we start like introducing the orchestra, but also imitating those sounds. And then when we get toward the end, that's when you have this massive chorale where it kind of represents the Spanish, so to say, but it's juxtaposed with the rest of the orchestra is doing these violent, you know, rhythms. And that is kind of representing a battle precisely. And then we have a coda, which wraps up the whole thing, and it ends in a unison. It brings back the pututo. So it really is depicting what the poem says, you know, the spirit of the poem in that sense, and also the message that, you know, this violent clash has led to a fusion and the birth of something new.
There is a big step between these works like America Salvaje, Perú Negro, and Lord of the Air with synesthesia or synesthesia. Can you describe what did inspire you to do these pieces, these five parts of synesthesia or synesthesia? Yeah.
Well, the title is in French, synesthesia, because it was commissioned by the Radio France Orchestra, of course. But yeah, synesthesia is a condition where people experience things across their senses. So let's say that you listen to a sound and then you immediately associate it with a color, or then you're eating something or some, you know, salty flavor, and you immediately associate it with a geometric figure or some smell. I mean, it's really interesting, it's fascinating, and it's very individual. There are no universal, you know, associations that you can find. Each person who has synesthesia has a different set of associations. So this commission, the parameters were very clear. I had to write five movements, each one of 2 minutes, because that was a radio program. They aired 2 minutes from Monday to Friday, and then on the following Monday, they aired the whole thing. So with these very strict parameters, I had to come up with something that would give unity to the whole thing. And that's when I thought, what is that that has five elements, yet they are still, you know, connected? And I realized the senses. So our five senses are represented in it, and we go through each one of them. We start with touch, which gives emphasis to the percussion instruments. We continue with smell, on emphasis on the string instruments. Then we go to taste, yes, and then that's emphasis to the woodwinds. We go to audition, which is a hearing. That's where the brass and the metal percussion shine. And then in vision, the whole orchestra comes together. So what I wanted to do is like just go a step farther. And I was thinking, you know, when you're talking about taste or smell through music, you're trying to describe something that's foreign to that sense, to the hearing. And that is precisely what people with synesthesia have, you know. Although I don't have it and I haven't experienced it, of course, I try to imagine as much as I can how would that happen and how to depict that. And that's what actually brings the whole piece together, really.
You were born in Lima. Such a smelly, noisy, flavorful, wet city.
Yes, indeed, yes.
So in my, I was wondering, going through this work, and you as a child, I always wonder when there is such an amazing, productive career, particularly in music, how was your childhood in terms of sounds? So let's imagine that we have to think to film your childhood in Lima or wherever it was. Mm-hmm. What could you put in the soundtrack of that part of your life?
Traffic, lots of traffic and honking and people walking in the streets. It's just, and cars and pollution. That's what I would put. That's a big part of our lives there all the time. And everybody is in a hurry, but no one is getting anywhere because you can't. So that is definitely something that you grow up with, for sure.
You are working with other Peruvian colleagues like Miguel Hart Bedoya, who was born in Peru as well, or working also as your main cellist with Jesus Castro Balbi, who is a Peruvian descendant. What does it make that such an amazing musicians as you, Miguel and Jesus, could make such a career abroad? Was it possible to do in your country of origin or not?
So, and even going back to your previous question, I was thinking, you know, Peru is very wealthy in terms of music, you know. And of course, I was being serious and part joking with traffic. But also, you have all this amazing musical heritage that comes from the mix of culture, like Afro-Peruvian, Indian, Spanish. You have Creole music. You have modern pop music and so forth. So Miguel, myself, and you know, even Juan Diego Flores, for example, we all actually have been listening to Peruvian popular music from an early age. And I wasn't exposed to classical music until later. So all of us obviously had to emigrate, you know. Jesus did not grow up in Peru, but he's very firmly rooted in, with he connected with Peru for sure. He speaks Spanish fluently. But, you know, you cannot really develop a career as a classical musician in Peru, at least not at a time that I was there. I think things are changing right now, and younger generations have at least the possibility of attending, you know, first-class concerts with good soloists and visiting orchestras. But back then, I really had to you know, put my look abroad. The interesting thing is that when I was there, I wasn't particularly interested in whatever, you know, Peruvian music was producing so much. I took it for granted. And I was really focused on Western classical music. That's why I went to Europe. So I went to Helsinki, Finland, and I studied there for 7 years. And it was there that I actually started having this longing, this sense of longing towards, and trying to find an identity also as a composer. You know, in your 20s, you're trying to absorb all the influences, but you're also trying to find a voice. And it all came naturally, really. And then I looked back and I saw that, you know, we have this wealth of music down there. Why don't I actually take a look at it? And I did, and all of these things have been coming up, have been shaping up my musical language too. I think Miguel Harbedoya has had the same experience. And he's now more than ever championing South American music through his Caminos del Inca project and his publishing house, Philharmonica. So I think we all feel also a responsibility of sharing what we think is worth sharing, and also, you know, giving the chance to other voices from down there to actually shine and come forth.
What's your next project? Or maybe it's already ending and showing it. I read something about Bel Canto. What is going on about that?
Well, that is a project that's been going on for a few years now. I completed the orchestra score, and it was delivered I think 2 weeks ago. So yes, that's a 3-hour-long opera. It's going to be premiered at Lyric Opera of Chicago in December 7th. And it was curated by Renee Fleming, and she is not singing, Danielle Denise is singing the main role, but Renee has been behind the scenes with us, collaborating all the time. So we had her, librettist Nilo Cruz, director Kevin Uveri, and music director Sarandu Davis, and all of us were meeting periodically to work on this piece. So I had to show my progress to them. And of course, being my first opera, the learning curve is quite steep, you know, because I hadn't written that much vocal music before. But it's opened so many doors already. It's a fantastic experience. So I can't wait for rehearsals to start, because I haven't listened to a single note of it, really, with the orchestra. We had a workshop last year, but it's a different thing. So I'm looking forward to that. We had tech rehearsals in the summer. And so I can promise that it's going to be a really big show. So if you can make the trip to Chicago between December 7th and January 17th, I totally recommend it.
Thank you so much for giving us this interview, Jimmy, and for KUNM listeners.
Thank you very much, Christina. My pleasure.
And you were listening to an interview with Dr. Jimmy Lopez, who was just releasing all this work through the Harmonia label, Peru Negro, Synesthesia, Lord of the Air, and America Salvaje, that is performed by the Norwegian Radio Orchestra, conducted by Miguel Harth Bedoya. The ones who are opera lovers, Miguel Harth Bedoya was conducting the orchestra during the Cold Mountain Opera that was just taking place in the Santa Fe Opera here in New Mexico. My name is Cristina Bacin, and stay tuned, because I invite you to enjoy an evening or night ready.